Hey, y'all. I'm Allison Asarch from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, I'm Sean Fraser from the Ritzy Kids.
Hunters, this is Johnny from Rail Motor.
Hey, it's Shane from Blind Season.
Hey, it's Rob Stanier, and you can check out my music on all the streaming platforms.
Check out my latest music on all the streaming sites.
Check out my debut album on all streaming platforms.
Check out our new debut album.
Check us out on Spotify and Apple Music. And you're listening to our friends, Braggy and Curly.
My favorite bands from Australia.
My two favorite podcasts is Braggy and Curly.
Braggy and Curly.
On the Unfiltered and Undiscovered podcast.
All right, let's get started. Hey there, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Unfiltered and Undiscovered podcast, episode 138. We're still on a bit of a high after talking with the boys and the Spirit Molecule from Sweet Talk and Soren. So what a great episode last week. This week, we've got another special guest with us. But before we get started, let's welcome in the two co-hosts to the show. Let's welcome Braggy from Adelaide and Rossi from Sydney. How are you, boys?
Fantastic, excellent. Girly. It's lovely to see you both and Link, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And it's the weather's just started to turn here in Adelaide. We're going into autumn. We have four seasons here.
So, yeah.
And it's a little bit cool. And we're leading up to, I know the AFL season started, but my mighty Redlegs are about to play next Thursday night, first game against our rivals, Sturt. Freaking hate those bastards.
Isn't Sturt Dave Graney's team?
Yeah. Everyone thinks it's Port that are our main rivals, like the local Port team, because we're the two oldest clubs. But we kind of get to like, we don't mind Port now. It's just Sturt. They got the same song as us.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, I know. How does that work? And they think, I don't know. I don't know why. And we're there anyway. So it's always a bit feisty when we play them.
I can imagine.
Because we're like the Roosters. No one's like the Roosters, like Rossi's Roosters, that are the Silvertails, you know? You got the RM Williams and the Chinos. That's us, right?
Yeah. Good.
And Sturt think they're like us as well.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, anyway.
All right. So just bear with us. I'm going to bring on the stream. We've got Big Stu. So,
hey, Stu, how are you?
Are you there? And we can't hear you. We have no volume and you've... Okay, let's take him off the stream. All right.
Someone told me today that Sydney is going... We really have two seasons here, and Sydney is moving from fuck it's hot to fuck it's cold.
Yes.
That's what I was told today. I thought, yeah, it's about right. Yeah, because I thought this morning, fuck it's cold.
Yeah. Okay, just bear with me. I'm just texting. So... while we're talking, let's talk a little bit about footy then. So Roosters got beaten by the Sea Eagles there, Rossi. Sea Eagles look okay, actually. Manly look like they could be the deal.
Forward packs seem to be very big and strong and running fast. They're running fast and running harder. And that's all you got to do at football. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Just got to do it harder and faster than the other blokes.
Yeah.
I've always thought there's about 3% difference from a side at their best and a side at their worst. And so a bottom-ranked side that's playing at the top of their game can always knock off a top-ranked side off their game. So that's what makes it interesting, you know?
Yeah, very much so. And a true servant of your club, Jared, JWH,
Jared Hargraves.
Yeah. 300 games this week.
That's fantastic. He's the bloke that you want to play with and you don't want to play against.
Yeah. And every club would love him on their team.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless they're footing his judiciary bill. So someone said to me that if you added up all his fines, he could have bought a new kitchen.
Yeah.
On the North Shore.
Yeah, that's exactly where he is too.
And of course, it's probably best we don't talk about the Dragons after a very promising week one to be done 38-0 by Wayne Bennett's Dolphins, an absolute ambush.
They're doing very well in Jersey Flag though, Curly, and that's the one that really matters.
Thanks, Rossi. You made my heart. Now, our special guest tonight is a gentleman called Link Phelps, and I believe Link is, once again, Rossi, a Queenslander.
Hey.
So it's 3-1 tonight, but he's also a Broncos supporter.
That's a very rare thing, isn't it?
Broncos in Queensland.
Yeah, they tend to support, you know, the Dolphins, the Cowboys, anyone but Broncos, a lot of them.
Yeah. All right, so let's I've got one piece of news and I'll get that out of the way and then we'll start talking with Link and I'll pass it to Braggy to get the ball rolling once I've delivered the news. Our good friend Josie. Now, Josie, who had the song Down Here, Down Here.
Yep.
Massive streaming hit, has just released her new album. She also posted during the week that her song that she released after Down Here was the song about her dad and a truck. Reached 300,000 streams on Spotify. Eee. So that's nothing to sneeze about. And she's just released her new single, which is a party anthem, apparently, called Our Place. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll have Josie back on the podcast to talk all about, well, what she's been doing since we last spoke to her.
That is fantastic.
Really Townsville local, and just killing it. So, all right.
Would you support the Cowboys?
Yes. I am a Cowboys supporter.
Yeah. you notice how all of a sudden it's in fashion and Braggy joins. Yeah, I'll go Cowboys.
I watch them when they're winning.
That's Sydney with the Swans all over.
These days, I normally only watch 3 games of footy a year, and that's Origin 1, 2, and 3. But if the Cowboys go well, then I'll tune in for sure.
All right. So let's welcome in from Gympie, coming live to us from Gympie. And I think this is the first time we've ever had someone live from Gympie. And it's really funny because we've got the Big Stu, the country music correspondent, trying to tap into us tonight, trying to go live with us. And his internet's playing up, but there's good internet in Gympie. Please welcome Link Phelps am I saying that right, Link? Link Phelps to the podcast. Welcome, Link. How are you?
Good evening, fellas. I'm bloody fantastic. Thanks for having me. And go the Broncos. Go the Maroons.
Yeah. Gympie is the heartland of Queensland, really, isn't it? You cannot. Mate, it's like Penrith in Sydney.
Gympie. Basically, yeah. We're actually, our claim to fame. So Gympie's original name. Gympie was originally called Nashville.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's a fun fact if you're playing along at home. And the reason why is Gympie's also the town that saved Queensland. They during the gold rush, this is where they discovered gold. And I'm sure you've seen Gympie on the news from time to time. We sometimes have a little water problem. And a bit of floods, and they ironically built the town where they found the gold in the what was formerly a river is our main street, and it's down in the hollow, and that's where they found the gold, so that's where they built the town, and then when it fills up, it fills up fast, and we get a little wet.
Are you suggesting maybe they built the town in the wrong place, Link?
Look, yeah, I don't want to, I don't want to call anyone out, but basically that is exactly what happened. Yes.
makes sense. I didn't know that. It makes sense. Perfect sense. I mean, that's where the goal's going to be in the riverbed, isn't it?
Correct, yeah.
I had an old truck driver mate of mine that we'd be touring around the country with, and he would always say, bigger than Gympie's water slide. That's what he used to say all the time. Does Gympie ever had a water slide?
Not that I can remember, but
I'm going to take it up with him when I talk to him. I'm going to say, you're full of shit, mate.
Yeah. Now, Link, as you've realised, this is, it's not really an interview show. We don't really do interviews. We more just have a discussion. But I usually like to start everything off with finding out how our guest, like the first time you thought to yourself, oh, music, this is a thing. I love it. Like the first time it became a thing for you. When was that? How'd that happen? And like, were your parents into music as well? Or just tell us the story of that.
Yeah. So mum was a massive music, like a music fan. And I've got she's got a photo of me. I was in a pram and it was at the muster one year. And they were watching John Williamson on main stage.
Yeah.
And so this is, what am I? I'm nearly 32. So this is 30 years ago. And you could take your own booze into the muster back then. So,
wow.
I'm in the pram with like a plastic cover over it. And that apparently wasn't, according to the, you know, the guys having a beer on the hill, wasn't sufficient enough protection, so they were ripping up beer cartons and draping them over the pram. And mum has that photo.
You cannot get any more Queensland than that.
Nah. Is that the cover of your next album?
I'm thinking about it. Yeah. Just Queenslander.
That's right.
All right.
So wow.
Yeah, so mum was a fan and she always had music playing, but all sorts of different stuff from, you know, the main event. I don't know if you remember that album. It was Olivia Newton-John, Anthony Warlow, and Farnsey. So things like that right through to Reba, Garth, Clint Black, you know, all these American country stuff, and Graham Connors, all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, and then my sister sang... and I used to follow her to singing lessons and just basically annoy the shit out of her and be a pest. And then, I reckon I was about 10 when I got a guitar and then discovered a very kind of a bit weird, but Michael Jackson did a concert at Madison Square Garden and had all these special guests and stuff. It was like Slash and...
Yeah, I remember that.
And mum must have taped it like on a... VHS, and I just remember watching it over and over and over and over and over, and I think that is what made me fall in love with the, I suppose, the entertaining side of things,
and
the showman vibe.
Yeah.
And
the songwriting, I guess. So I mean, Michael Jackson, you know, I know that it sounds weird, but it's not really it. I mean, a great songwriter, no matter what genre.
The guy had some skills like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Well, I think how, like, he was, when you know, he wrote and recorded Ben, he was, what, like 10 or 11?
Eight.
There you go. Yeah.
It's funny you should say that because it's interesting because so listen to your stuff today, and in particular, most recent single, which you want to tell us about your latest single before I talk about it with you?
So it's called Sing a Little Louder. And I wrote it with Nick and Tom Wolf, and we wrote it over Zoom, so not too dissimilar to what's going on here tonight. We were sort of talking a bit of rubbish and talking about footy, all sorts of things. And I had the chorus, so I just had to sing a little louder. And I went to the boys and I said, I need some help to piece together some verses. I've got a couple of ideas, but I'm not sure. And Nick just said to me, he goes, well, let's just, you know, we'll have a coffee and we'll throw some shit to the wall and see what sticks.
That's cool, man. Because as I listened to that song today, I just got a sense there's a bit of a pop sensibility in it. I could hear, compared to some of the other stuff, it's got a little, there's more real country in some of the other tracks that you've released. Yep. Although Tracks of Tears was, Threw Me for a Loop as well, which I kind of dug that as well. But I could hear the pop in it. I could hear like the pop production. It sounded like, compared to a lot of the country stuff I listened to, it sparkled in my hearing. Like I just went, wow, that's got, that sounded very, sharp and current and poppy and clean. And so the production was great on it. And the song was great, of course, but it really stuck to me that there was a pop influence. I'm glad you've said Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, well, first of all, thank you. That was there was definite like that didn't happen by accident. I guess over the last few years and the different stuff, I across all of those different influences that I sort of rattled off. And I was sort of, yeah, there's been a bit of a journey, I think. And I took this song, took the acoustic demo to my now producer and good friend, Gavin Carfoot, who has worked with a whole bunch of people now, you know, most notably probably James Johnston, who's having, you know, massive success in the country scene. And I went to Gav, and I'd been doing some other stuff with him, and I said, look, Gav could produce anything. He reminds me of Rick Rubin. He's got this sensibility where he just knows how to bring out the absolute best in whoever he's working with. And there's no, he's not defined by genre, any borders, there's no box to work in with Gav. He just wants the project to be, you know, the best that it can be. And so I took it to him and I said, look, these are my thoughts. This is what I want to do. And he said, yeah, great. Let's do it. And without me even sort of realizing, he just made that happen. So we took my band into the studio, the same people that I use live. And that was really important to me. That's cool. And then, yeah, Gav said, you know, hey, let's add this. He decided at the end, he goes, let's put some pedal steel on it. And
That truly is the art of producing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the unsung art. You can listen to someone's record, but what you don't see about a really good producer is those little ideas that happen in the studio, or those little things. Let's try this, try this. I really think it's really, it must go over well live. I don't know how much you've played it live, but
bit of a crowd pleaser.
Really anthemic song.
Yeah.
It's kind of almost, and the sentiment of it, it's kind of, and I know that there's a background which we'll ask you about later, about your son. But it's kind of, Rossi, would you agree, almost like what about me? It's got that same sort of vibe to it, the struggling.
It had a familiarity without having heard it before. And that's the mark of a good song. It was the first time you hear it. You know, it doesn't jar you. You feel like you've heard it before, which is,
you can hear the crowd singing that, eh?
Yeah, yeah. And that Rick Rubin thing is absolutely right. Yeah, like the man does. He's platform agnostic, so to speak. You know.
Very much so.
Go and watch the Paul McCartney series with him too.
One of the things I really liked about it, Link, is that it starts off like you're on a megaphone. There's a bit of distance in the music when it starts off in the vocals, and then all of a sudden it just seamlessly, there's some professional stuff there. And
I love the description of it, Curly.
But sorry? I was hearing it going, oh shit, I hope it doesn't sound like this. And then bang. I knew you'd done.
So obviously that was part of what you, the sense that you wanted people to get when they first tuned in, like it was something a little bit distant or far away, or, and then all of a sudden it's just this, it just blends seamlessly into a really nice opening.
Yeah, exactly. That was Gav's idea. We were looking for, again, not by accident, we were looking for some commercial hooks and some things to make it radio friendly. It was a bit of a formulaic process, I guess, to sort of put it together, which is, like I said, quite different to how I've worked in the past. And it was really interesting because Gav was like, okay, well, there's bits and pieces. And, there's a subtle guitar line in there that I came up with when just Gav and I were doing a bit of pre-production. And I was just fiddling around while he was creating a bit of a drum loop. And he goes, oh, what's that? And I said, oh, I don't know. I can just sort of hear this melody part. And he said, oh, okay, cool. And so there's, you know, that's a feature. The chorus is obviously a strong hook. Then you've got that broken down start, and then it comes in with the later on with the broken down clap and sing. And where we recorded it was actually at in the great studios at QUT up in Brisbane. And when you're standing in that studio and you're looking at, so the control room looks back at the studio, you turn around and you can see you're probably, as the crow flies, I reckon, maybe 200 meters from Suncorp Stadium.
Oh, wow.
So
you're at home.
Yeah, so you can see that. And I remember at one stage saying to Gav in the early days, I was like, man, this is an anthem. And I'm like, like we're creating this in here. I said, and one day, like mark my words, I said, I'll be over there singing it. And he's like, you've got to dream big, brother. That was the...
Absolutely. Sing.
For the mom at the red light, kids screaming in the car. For the man in the steel cap boots, steel capped heart. For the overworked, for the underpaid, the underdog, for the renegade, who all that love to give was to say. Come on, get heard, gotta get loud. For those who know but can never tell, those in here but can't speak so well, sing out with all your might, you might as well. Come on, sing.
Be careful, because some years you could have looked over your shoulder and just sung disappointment.
So for those people listening on video, yes, we are still trying to bring Big Stu online, and there is just something not playing the game at the big fella's place tonight. So I'm not sure what it is, and but it's there's something playing up for him. So,
I'd also want to ask Link about, you were saying earlier that you took the band into the studio. Oh. So you've got a bunch of guys you play with all the time, which is like a real band, yeah? Which is a great thing.
Definitely, yeah. And I love that, and I thrive on it. And, you know, I just, especially in a live setting, if I know that, you know, I've got those guys there, I'm comfortable, they're doing their job, and they've got my back, I don't have to worry about a thing. So all I have to worry about is one, doing my job, and then two, making sure the crowd's having a good time.
So look, so you got, what do you got, your drums, you got bass, who's playing, are you the playing the lead solo guitar and some of the parts, or are you got
no play? No,
it's just
some
sweet ass bluesy licks in some of your stuff.
Oh yeah, thanks. So that's my I wish I could claim them, but no, that's my best mate, and he was actually best man at my wedding. That's Peter Cooper on the guitar. So
yeah, very tasteful stuff.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah, well, I'll send him this once it's released.
Yeah, pass it on.
He'll be stoked to hear that.
I love that.
He's a great banjo player too.
It's not there that far to drive to
Curly,
get lessons.
Curly, you go there for lessons, Curly. You're good.
No, because the reason I say that is I listened to all the other stuff there on Spotify, and I thought maybe that you had, it was like a session guy playing the guitar, because the licks were they're really nice, good stuff. Really tasteful.
Yeah, that's all Coops, and he's been with me for I have to be going on 10 years now. So
I love it's a real band. That's great, man, because it's hard to maintain a band. Yeah, so you just got to be mates. You really do.
It very much is. And we've got, yeah, it's a real family vibe. So got Coops on the guitar. We've got, that was Glenn Muirhead playing keys on the album. So he's played with the Eurogliders and James Rain. And then Steve Fernley playing drums. And I always I take the piss out of Steve because he was playing drums on the Ian Moss Matchbook Tour the year I was born.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so I give him a bit of curry about his age sometimes. And and then Jen Myers on the vocals. So Jen's a fantastic singer-songwriter. And she's got a band called Jen Myers and the Rough and Tumble. And yeah, so super lucky to have, you know, to have all those guys around. And then Luke Moller playing fiddle, Denny Whittacombe playing steel. And then, yeah, just the whole crew. Like, and so we've got the same front of house engineer, Ray Moss, that we take out all the time. And it's just, yeah, it's just a unit. And, you know, my wife, Stacey, does all the admin and the managing and all the paperwork and all the unforgiving
merch
jobs that
merch sales
to do. Merch sales, all that stuff. Yeah.
Merch sales, yeah.
It's a real family vibe. So
that's fantastic, cool. Man. It's really hard to pull that together. Like it's a lot of work. It's a big band too.
It is, yeah. Yeah. It's it is, yeah. And we have ups and downs, you know. There's always that's just in any relationship.
Link, but, yeah, tell us. Tell us about, now we're on to family. A lot of times over the times on this show, we've had a lot of people on Curly, haven't we, who have worked with people with disabled people or people with mental issues or different things like that. We're using music to help people like that. So tell us about, you said you wrote the song about your son. So is it if you want to talk about that, is that cool? Tell us about
definitely,
that.
Yeah. So I think, for people that are listening that you know, haven't heard the song or might go and listen afterwards, hopefully the second verse talks about for those who know but can never tell, for those that hear but can't speak so well, and so yeah, Jacko is my 13-year-old boy, and he's autistic, and he's just I mean, he's coming along in leaps and bounds, and he's sort of embracing the world. He is hilarious. Watches things that are, you know, inappropriate for his age. So he absolutely loves Family Guy. You know, we watch Will Ferrell movies together. He's constantly coming up with or coming out with movie quotes and stuff that you know. So, but over the years, I think, you know, there's been ups and downs for him, and definitely struggles around communication.
Yeah,
I think, and sometimes his frustration in trying to get a message across, and that was a massive part of the song for me. Was, you know, for Jacko and anyone that's feeling like they don't fit in.
Yeah, exactly, well, that's kind of what made me think about it, isn't that that song by Bibi Pitchers. But one of the guys in my band, Rail Mode, and one of my best mates of all, Waxy, his son is autistic as well. And like as soon as you, I can picture, because he's so funny and so direct, so blunt, but so truthful. Like he will tell you straight up. He's such a good. We always will play the songs to him. So Jordan, his name is Big J Dub, I call him, but and he's fantastic. And unfortunately, he never can come and see us play because the crowd, he doesn't like the crowds. He's that sort of autism. Mm. He can stay for a little bit, but he just does not suffer fools, and it's fantastic.
Mate, they are honestly, there's just there's no gray area.
It's black or white.
If you don't like it, too bad.
I love it.
But it's pretty brave. It can be a bit confronting to be able to do your art and to be so, you know, so honest and personal about it. But in terms of the song, it's got elements of no, I wouldn't say joy. I don't know what I'm thinking, but yeah, like the songs, yeah, a positive take on it, you know?
Yeah, song of hope.
Yeah. Song of hope, yeah.
It's a song of hope, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it, yeah. And I admire the fact that you can do that because it's pretty brave, really. Yeah, like to put yourself out there, and that's the suit of armor that all songwriters wear, isn't it? They wear their heart on the outside, and you can't help it. You got to do it, man. Yeah. You should be really proud of that. You're really proud of it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and I really am. And a good song will pass the kid test usually. Kids will sing along and remember it. Then that's definitely a plus. And sort of writing it, I wanted it to be that song. I wanted it to be an earworm and have people, have that joyous feeling and that, as you mentioned, it be anthemic and but also the story or the three kind of separate stories across the verses be really relatable. And so the first verse is for the everyday, mum and dad working hard. Second song is for Jack and people like him. And then the third verse is a little bit self-indulgent. So it talks about me being a kid or any other performer, singer, songwriter, artist in any form, feeling like I guess feeling like people didn't take them seriously in what they wanted to do.
Yes.
When you get the job.
Yeah. When am I getting the job?
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't want to let the cat out of the bag. I don't know how much Jules told you, but I've got a day job and it's absolutely kicking my butt at the moment.
Yeah, so you got a mowing business, yeah?
Mowing and contracting. So we do property maintenance and all sorts of bloody stuff. And this, the weather and the humidity over the last 6 months can go and bloody take a hike.
But I'm thinking if you're on the mower, if you're on the ride on, it must be because that's like a I used to be a delivery driver, and it's the same route every day. And so you got a bit more of a blank mind. It's really good for writing lyrics, I found.
Well, they're talking like that left brain, right brain thing when you're distracted doing a menial sort of repetitive task. Opens up the other side of the brain, and that has happened. I've written some songs and I have to stop and I'll turn the mower off and make a note or a voice memo. And that happens.
Well, it could have been worse, Link, because you could have been training to run the Tokyo Marathon with sort of heat and humidity. So, okay. So Link, we haven't told you this, but and maybe I should start thinking.
Yeah, have you can you recognize this voice?
But we now do a thing called Braggy's Trivia halfway through the show, and we're about halfway through the show. And Braggy does a series of questions, and we see if the guest can beat fundamentally Rossi, because anyone can beat me. I'm just a punter. I'm not the Glenn A. Baker. And what's the theme for tonight, Braggy?
I've tried to tailor a little bit of country stuff in here.
Yeah.
So it's only a short quiz. It's worth 20 points again.
Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
So
there's Taylor questions in here too.
So Link, if you've got a pen and a paper somewhere close by,
or your phone, or doesn't matter,
or your phone or something.
I happen to be in the office, so
won't find one.
No, yeah, that's right.
All the pens will be broken. You'll be pegging them over your shoulder.
I'll just wiggle over here and get a pencil. Here we go.
No worries. Yeah.
And it's a shame we don't have the country music correspondent because
he'd go
well. He is a gun at trivia.
He'd go well.
Rossi, I've just got to warn you that when I got home from work yesterday, I was laying on the couch in the aircon and I watched half an episode of The Chase. So my trivia game is pretty strong.
Game on. I like it.
Game on.
Taunting me. Okay.
What do these musicians have in common? So this is only worth 1 point. This is the first question. It's only worth 1 point.
Okay.
What do these musicians have in common? Kurt Cobain, Courtney Barnett, Paul McCartney, and Jimi Hendrix. You're going to love this next question. You're going to love all these questions tonight. Really worked hard to make you guys.
Well, I think I've got that one, Braggy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I've got that one.
Yeah. Okay.
Make sure you ask me.
I'm going to give you five. I will ask you first. I'm going to give you five titles, and you're going to tell me if these titles are Taylor Swift songs or self-help books. Okay. You like that?
How to lose a guy in 10 days.
You ready? Okay. The first title is The Best You'll Ever Have. Is that a Taylor Swift song or is that a self-help book? The Best You'll Ever Have. I love it because Rossi and Curly really aren't the most country guys. Second one is Better Than Revenge.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Third one is The Angry Heart.
They're not much of a self-help book, I might just say.
Fourth one is Stay Beautiful.
Yeah.
And the fifth one is Never Grow Up.
Okay.
I'm guessing on all of these.
Yeah, me too.
Taylor Swift gets everyone.
I guess on everything, Rossi.
Okay. I'm going to save the cryptic band names to last because there's some crackers in there. So we're going to go the next one. These are each of these questions are worth 3 points. So I'm going to give you a line and I need from you guys the next line of the song and what the song is and who sang it. So it's 3 points all up. The line after the line I give you, the person who sang it and the name of the song, okay?
Okay.
Three points each for these. There's three of them. And they're all classics. There's a hint. Ready? I keep a close watch on this heart of mine.
So it's a Rod Stewart song. Okay. Sharon.
You need the next line. You need who sang it and the name of the song. Next one is I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying.
Oh.
Next line for that one. Name of the song. Who sang it? And going to move on fast. The last one is Sometimes It's Hard to Be a Woman. So I need the next line. Name of the song and who sang it. How good are they?
Well, that's not a Johnny Cash song.
That one's not, no.
I know, yeah. I got it.
I have covered that song though. People love it when you start with that line.
I know. Mm. I know.
Okay. Now, Link, this is a little thing I like to do each week. It's called Cryptic Band Name. So I'm going to give you the name of a band.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, so like if I did what's one I could do just to give you an idea? So it's just a cryptic name for it. So like if I did the Beatles, it might be the Bugs or something. That's a real easy thing, but they're much more difficult than that. Mm. I make them as difficult as I can because these guys are good. Okay, there's five of these, 1 point each. First one is Prosperous City Vermin. Now, Prosperous City Vermin. I'm pretty sure Luke's 30 something. I'm pretty sure you'll know all these bands. Prosperous City Vermin. Okay. Unfortunately, because I'm an old guy, Luke, sometimes my questions are a little bit, you know, for the older generation. That's probably why Rossi gets them.
No, I got that one.
Okay. Yeah, got it. Second one, An Existing State of Affairs.
Ooh. You like that one, don't you?
Brandy? I do, but there's a better one. I've got a better one.
An existing state of affairs.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to move on. If you can't get it, you can't get it. Third one is on the menu today.
On the menu today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Next.
This is my favorite question of all time, out of all the ones things I've done. And this next one is grumpy New South Wales fans.
Very good.
You like it?
I do. Grumpy New South Wales fans. Yeah, I do. I like that. That's good.
And the last one is soggy digestive. Some of these would be actually good names for bands.
Yeah.
Like real names.
Soggy digestives.
Yeah.
Appearing at an aged care facility near you.
Okay. You don't get much time because we've got to move on. The show goes on. Yep. We really don't have to talk about the rest of the link stuff. You ready?
Yep.
Curly, what do those musicians have in common?
They're all on The Simpsons.
No.
Okay.
They're all lefties.
They're all left-handed.
What were you going to say, Link?
Left-handed.
Yep. Beautiful work. He's good.
He's good.
Oh, Rossi might be challenged here. Okay. Which is a Taylor Swift song and which is a self-help book? The best you'll ever have.
Taylor.
It's a book and it's by Shannon Mullen and it's about sex. The best you'll ever have. Well done. Well done. Next one, Better Than Revenge. That's a Taylor Swift song.
Got the album.
Speak Now.
Yep.
No, I had a book.
The Angry Heart. That's
self help.
That's a book. Yep. It's about addiction. It's by Joseph Santoro. Stay Beautiful.
Self help.
It's a song. It's from her debut album. And Never Grow Up.
Five. Self help song.
No, that's a song. That's off the same album than Better Than Revenge. It's off Speak Now.
I got three of them.
Well done, Curly.
I got four.
That's because you've written a self help book.
Absolutely.
Okay. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. Don't know?
I keep my eyes wide open all the time.
Correct.
That's right.
Johnny Cash. Correct. 3 points to Link.
Oh. Okay. Here I was. I thought Rod Stewart for sure. And the next line was, it's been heard 1,000 times. But that's another Rod Stewart song that's very similar. So
yeah.
It's actually Rolling Stone voted that the greatest country song of all time, by the way.
Wow. Okay.
I'm crazy for trying and crazy for lying and I'm crazy for loving you. You got it. Yep. Patsy Cline, Crazy, written by Willie Nelson.
Oh, he's proving it.
Yeah. We believe you. You don't need to prove it. You couldn't be more trustful, mate. You got to keep... sometimes it's hard to be a woman.
Giving all your love to this one man.
Oh, love it, boys. Stand By Your Man by Tammy Wynette.
I had a massive mind blank. I got the lyrics and then I couldn't remember the title or the artist.
I do think that the Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi cover is pretty good too.
Yeah. I test these questions out on my daughter who's 25 and she said, isn't that the Blues Brothers? No, but I get
three orange whips.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Prosperous City Vermin.
Boomtown Rats.
Yes. Well done, boys.
I think that's the only one I got.
Is it? An existing state of affairs? That's the status quo.
Yeah. That's clever.
That is clever.
On the menu today, Rossi, did you get it?
The specials.
Yes!
Very good.
Well done.
You get excited about this, don't you?
I love it. Grumpy New South Wales fans.
The Cockroaches.
No.
Okay. What do you got?
It's angry something. Angry.
No. It's the Moody Blues.
The Moody Blues. Oh. Oh. Justin Hayward. Very good. That's very good. Oh,
that's clever.
And soggy
Moody's
dog.
Not angry. Moody's not angry.
No, I said grumpy.
Grumpy. Grumpy. Yeah, okay.
Moody's I'll grumpy.
Accept. I'll accept that.
And soggy digestive?
That's Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit. Well done.
All right, I got that.
Well done. Okay, tally up the scores.
5.
1.
5. Is that all you got?
4.
That's it.
4. 10.
13.
I got 14.
Oh!
I can prove it. I can show you if you want. Got my prize in front of me.
We believe you're awesome.
All right. So
well done. He's good, though. He is actually good.
He's very good.
Country music correspondent can hear us, but we can't see him. So he got 12, he tells me. He got 12. And he does have a question. And I just want to make sure that I've got this right. So I heard you talking that you wrote the song with the Wolf Brothers.
Yes.
Did you record with them?
No.
Okay. So what was it like writing with the Wolf Brothers? Because they are huge at the minute. They are flavor of the month in the country world, aren't they?
Very much so. Yeah. It was awesome to write with them. So I've met the boys and, you know, hung with them at festivals and different things. And they're just super down to earth, good, genuine blokes. Like, you know, and I think they're super grounded. You know, Tom goes home to the berry farm. Nick's on a farm as well. You know, when they're not singing and writing stuff, they're on the tractor and they're just good. They've got a strong, like, sense of family. So really strong values and stuff. And it was an easy write as well. If that's sort of a thing, I think we were 3 hours over Zoom and it was done, the whole song.
Truly.
So, and then nothing changed. There was no edits or anything like that. And it was just a really good experience. So I'm looking forward to writing with them again. And they're great live too. So it was a real pleasure.
So how did that collaboration come about? Did you know them before or did you just say, let's get together?
Yeah, so I had known them and seen them and stuff. I think just before we wrote that, Tom and I were both a little pissy singing Garth Brooks, singing a Garth Brooks cover in the main street of Winton. At the festival out there at 1 a.m. So
that's the Outback Festival.
That's the one, yeah. So
I've played there.
How good is it?
It was a long time ago. It was fantastic. It was so drunk.
And they just, you know, bring everything out into the middle of nowhere. And that started there. Tom and I bonded over a love of, floral shirts. That was a thing. and then as I mentioned earlier, so Ray Moss, our front of house sound engineer, works with those guys as well. And he mentioned to me, hey, I think, you know, the boys are keen to co-write and stuff, and this song would probably be up their alley, because I told him about the idea I had for the chorus. And one thing led to another. I reached out to Tom first, and then Nick jumped on board, and the rest is history.
That's cool. I have another question from the CMC, but before I'll ask one of my questions, on your EP from 2022, Shouting from the Rooftops, I thought it was one cover, but I was informed by a much more learned person. There's 3 covers on that song.
Yeah,
I personally I love Tracks of My Tears. It's just a really good version of that particular song. But Big River and Angel from Montgomery. Angel from Montgomery is a beautiful, beautiful song.
Yeah.
And a great version. I never heard the original.
Mm-hmm. Him an old woman named after my mother. Old man is another child that's growing old. If tears were thunder, lightning desire, sold house would have burned down a long time ago. Send me an angel, flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old Oriole. Just give me one thing I can hold on to. Leaving this living is just a hard way.
So what was the choice, why the choices of those three covers on that EP for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, that takes me back a couple of years. I think at the time we were doing, we were trying to really shape the live show. And I had previously released an album in 2017, but I didn't know, I was very green and didn't know a lot about, I guess, sort of releasing and marketing and all of that kind of stuff. I was just, I was probably still a kid, keen to just record some music and put an album out, and thought everyone would love it and I'd get a heap of gigs and awesome.
Happy to get it finished and move on.
Basically, that was like, yeah. In itself was a great experience and a great learning curve. And I'm still really proud of that album. And I've got some plans to re-release it at a later date. So, the EP came about. We were doing a few shows, live shows and that sort of thing. And those songs I landed on, I was looking for some familiar covers that hadn't been sort of, I guess, flogged to death by other artists and that sort of thing, and would really kind of appeal to a demographic, you know, probably people of age sort of 30 to 60 in that sort of bluesy country sort of world, that were like, you know, oh, Tracks of My Tears, I haven't heard that song for
Smokey
years.
Robinson. And,
so that one kind of came out of left field. I heard it one day on the radio and I was like, man, what a great song. So took it to the band.
People say I'm the life of the party, cause I tell a joke too.
Big River, I had been playing with, I jumped up on stage at a few different things with Bill Chambers. And and Bill was one of those things where it was like, oh, hey, unrehearsed, what song do you know? And I kind of went, let's do Big River. It's relatively easy for the band to sort of, lug their way through, I guess. So we kind of stripped it back down and turned it into this swampy sort of, you know, bluesy kind of thing. And then again, I thought, you know, iconic song, but not one of Johnny's most.
It's a deep cut, you know, yeah.
Exactly, not one of his most famous sort of songs that's been, you know, absolutely, you know, played. And then Angel from Montgomery.
Yeah, this is the one that interests me. Like, that's a big, that's John Prine. Yeah. If you listen to that.
Whew. Yeah, so John is one of my absolute favorite songwriters in the whole world. And I don't know, just this uncanny ability to tell a story in these crazy, crazy ways that are so sort of left field, but make so much sense in the way that he does them. And I'd heard this song originally many, many years ago by someone doing a cover of it. And I went,
Bonnie Raitt did a cover of it, I think.
Bonnie did a cover. I heard it. Actually by Australian singer-songwriter Lynn Botel was playing it at a show. And I was like, oh, wow. And I fell in love with it instantly.
Mm.
So I went looking for it and I found the Bonnie version and fell in love with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then found the John Prine version and absolutely fell in love with that and fell in love with John Prine.
Yeah.
So that's how that. And so I've been lucky enough to, I saw John Prine live at the Tivoli in Brisbane and saw him play it. And then I've also been lucky enough, I saw Bonnie Raitt at Blues Fest quite a few times and in a tent with maybe 10,000 people of, you know, you could have heard a pin drop.
Yeah.
When she played it. So it's.
So what do you think about when you, because I think, I mean, I don't know for certain, but I feel he, that from what I can remember, he wrote that song, trying to write a song about an older woman who was like losing her youth. But the words could mean anything in that, you know, it could mean anything to anybody in that song. So how does that, why did you choose that song? Because it's a pretty deep song.
Yeah. So I think, For me, it's probably more, I think the last verse grabbed me more than anything. And it talks about, the lyrics are, tell me how can a person come home, go to work in the morning, come home in the evening and have nothing to say. And I really felt for this sense of, that person that was going, I guess, through this sort of like, just this repetitive kind of thing, was going to work, coming home, feeling like they have nothing to say. And then the person at home was longing for them
just to talk,
to talk to them and be part of something. And it was probably just this realistically, communication breakdown of this person going, well, I'm not happy doing this, and this person going, well, I'm not happy being stuck at home, but they're both longing to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, completely. And I think just looking around at life and, you know, I think a lot of older people stay in, loveless relationships and stuff, I guess, for the sake of kids and all this sort of different stuff. I was probably, I was thinking very deeply about it.
Yeah. It's a common human condition, really, though, what he's singing about. That's why it's such a good song, because everybody can relate to that thing.
Totally. So, I don't know. I just fell in love with every part of the song.
His lyrics are just, they're so well thought out. We talk about this all the time, Rossi, don't we? Some people agonize. I think we talked to the boys from Sweet Talk last week, like about cutting as many words out as you can and just getting down to the bare bones to the point of
Yeah. You can take a word out with that. That's the editing trick. You can take a word out without it changing the meaning. It doesn't belong there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just makes everything so much more, yeah, direct.
It is an art form. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
It's poetic. But, yeah.
But, writing's hard.
Oh, it's art is hard.
Art is hard.
I've got that written on my guitar. Art is hard.
That's good.
All right, so I've got two more questions from the CMC, and I don't know how he knows this, but how did you get involved in the Rainbow Beach Family Fishing Classic in June?
He's so good.
Tell him in order for me to answer this, he would want to be there for a start.
So, Big Stu, I hope you're still listening, but you've heard that. That's the challenge. He'll tell you when he meets you at the Rainbow Beach Family Fishing Classic.
I've got a very good contact in Rainbow Beach who I can get to go down and spy and tell us if this occurs.
Whoa.
I've got sources everywhere.
Rainbow Beach is a hop, skip, and a jump for us. It's about 40 minutes and absolute paradise. It's so beautiful down there, and we love Rainbow and have spent quite a bit of time down there, so they reached out, and yeah, we're super excited to be doing the opening weekend of the Fishing Classic.
That'd be pretty cool.
It's gonna be great.
Big Stu just came back and said he was at Rainbow Beach last weekend, so
There you go.
So, and the final question is, how did the branding, so the outline of the hat and beard, come about? Because he says it looks awesome.
That was absolutely 100% my beautiful wife, Stacey. So she saw the, I had super long hair. I didn't have a mullet at that stage. Yeah. Just had long hair and the beard and everyone was saying, was talking to her about different ideas for merch and stuff and she went back and took it to our graphic designer friend of ours, and he came up with that, and it's pretty simple, but looks bloody awesome.
It does. Well, that's the first thing Braggy said. That's a beard. That's a beard.
Yeah. <It's proper. laughs>
I know you normally take the words from the set list, but in the immortal words of the band The Beards, if your dad doesn't have a beard, you've got too numb.
Hey, that's an Adelaide band.
I know.
It's an Adelaide band. I've actually rehearsed next to those guys in one of the rehearsal studios.
They were hilarious, weren't they?
They are funny.
If your dad does not have a beard, you have
You've got two mums.
Yeah.
Two beardless mums.
Yeah. That's so good.
All right. So you've gigged around a fair bit. So Groundwater Country Music, NQ's Rock and Country, Agnes Blues and Roots. We know someone else that's played there. Yeah. Tamworth Country Music Festival. What would be your favourite festival that you've played, Link?
I'm going to have to stay pretty close to home plate here and say that it'd probably have to be the Gympie Music Muster.
Yeah. Hasn't that just grown?
Yeah, it has. It's amazing to see it go from strength to strength. I know, as everyone did, they struggled through the COVID period and trying to work out what was happening and life after COVID and all that kind of stuff. And to see it last year and the amount of people that were there, just loving country music. And just having a good time and stuff. It's pretty special.
Yeah.
Country is just, it's a worldwide phenomenon.
and it's just on a resurgence.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, guitar-based music is really taken off again. And I think COVID had a bit to do with that. There are a lot of people at home with musical instruments in their hand.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot. There's a lot of guitar-based music around. And the stats bear that out as well. I think we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago that hip hop's tailing off, and there's more guitar based music out there. And I for one support our new guitar playing overlords.
Well, you know what? The thing about guitar, and this is because we're going to be talking like old guys, the thing about playing the guitar in a band is you can play to like in the barbecue to five people, and it's still really cool, but you can't do that. Yeah. You can't sing hip-hop to – and I'm a hip-hop fan as well because my daughter's a massive hip-hop fan, but it needs to be hyped up. It's not, you're not, you can't do that at the barbie with five people.
Yeah,
correct.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's, and I guess because, yeah, there's not a lot of big rock bands anymore. I guess country's always been there. It's like metal. It's never goes away. It's always never there.
And people love it.
It's been more infused now with the blues because, yeah, so much more of a blues feeling. I saw in your notes that, like, you met Nathaniel Ratliff. God, if my wife met Nathaniel Ratliff, she loves that guy. So that's that kind of, I love that kind of shit. It's not quite country. It's not quite, I don't even know what it is. It's just roots.
Yeah.
Soul, country, blues, like it's everything.
Totally. And they've got this massive, feeling, and there's just so much energy around it, and it comes from that, you know, they incorporate the like the horns from, you know, from the big band and all that kind of vibe, I don't know, it's just, how would I say it? I guess it's inclusive music. It just feels like
it's working class,
totally, and they just want everyone to, you know, James Brown said it, you know, he's like, and I joke around all the time, like with the band, and I walk around going, you know, get on up. And I like make a joke about it. But I'm like, at the end of the day, that is what it's there for, is this, you know, joyous celebration. And it's like, you know, cool. And there's a place for, you know, ballads, and there's a place for rock and roll, and there's a place for all this, like, you know, all these different moments in a show. But that collective, that coming together of everyone and that embrace or whatever is what it's all about at the end of the day.
I think we can thank Taylor for the longevity of country moving forward as well, because it's going to be a whole bunch of little girls who are going to have a bit of country in them for the rest of their lives.
For sure. Someone
said to me the other day that while she was here, like, I know that they were referencing, you know, Beatlemania and things like that.
Yes.
But someone said to me that there was, I think it was in Melbourne, like, part of the runways were shut down or something because there was so many inbound things. And I'm like, that is huge. When you have changed.
Oh, mate. You know, it's unbelievable.
I don't get why people just don't go, wow, that's massive. That's cool. Yeah. But the Taylor hate, I just don't get it. I don't get it either.
It's like, and she's such a nice person. That's the thing.
Yeah.
As well, she's just everything. You know, God.
Yeah.
You want your daughter to grow up like her, wouldn't you?
You do, don't exactly. you?
Yeah. For what she's been through, you know, she has every right. She could be a real asshole.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But she's not. She's just so, you know, she's just so kind, and she's still doing it.
I think because she's been through it, Link, that is what's made her like that, you know?
Yeah.
Tick one off for the cathartic benefits of songwriting.
Her fortuitousness to handle that is what blows me away.
And she just keeps getting stronger.
We've got no idea what that would be like. You know,
keeps getting stronger. Hey guys, we've been going for 1 hour and 4 minutes.
Okay.
Intermittently trying to get Big Stu back into the show tonight. But he has been listening, so somewhere along the line there's a technical glitch that we just need to work on. Rossi, is there a backstage story that you want to share tonight?
Look, I don't know. I was thinking, trying to keep with the country. I got a call, and I was called to go and work for this band. It ended up being at Avalon Beach RSL Club, which is in the deep depth northern beaches of Sydney. Anyway, I got wind it was going to be some country band, and they'll call the Hurricanes. They were the Angels put out a single, and on the B side of the single, they had three young bands. The Baby Animals were one, I think.
Mm.
The Poor Boys were another.
The Poor Boys, I remember them. Were they Brisbane?
No, that Northern Territory, Darwin.
Okay.
And so I've got up there to do, you know, I've got up there and sort of started doing my thing, you know, like loading the stage gear. And they seem like lovely blokes, yeah. Learn a really cool country trick that, yeah, you get your Fender Twin and you get your Telecaster, and if you rest the headstock on the Fender Twin, you get the feedback out of it, a little bit of country feedback, which was great. So, yeah. Anyway, things weren't all as they seemed. Apparently, they're having a special guest, and so like we're sort of getting there, and then we get a sound check, and lo and behold, I then realised who I was working for. Ended up being, would you believe, Cameron Daddo.
Oh,
on the Cameron Daddo 15 Minutes of Fame tour, yeah. He had this crack country band with his wife Alison Bray. They turned up. They're utterly delightful. They lived up there, and this place was like, you know, like it was just like and he came in and he was good. He was really good. The band was smoking, but he was a really good man and like had the right attitude. And
what happened to him? He had some brothers, didn't he?
Yeah, there was a lot. Lockie Daddo, there was a bunch of them.
Yeah,
I've still got the tour pass around here somewhere. It's the 15 Minutes of Fame tour. Had I known that when I took the phone call, I may not have gone. I'm here to tell you.
But ultimately, you're glad you did because it turned out.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, it's always good when it turns out for the best.
You never know what you're going to get sometimes.
Curly, before we go, because I know you're winding up. And I know you always end with your lyrics from their playlist, but I just want to, as I always like to find lyrics that I like from our guests, and I really like the song "Soul Link."
Oh, thank you.
That's cool. It's kind of a bluesy song. There's really one line that I really like. That little black dress has got me begging for some sympathy. That's a great line. Would you not agree, boys? We can all think of our imagination what that line means, but
I think it's going to have different meaning for everyone. But I was once told by a very powerful young lady at the time. She said, every woman needs to have or will have their own little black dress.
It's almost like a Rolling Stones, like a Keith Richards or Mick Jagger line, that one. So
yeah,
well done.
I know what I'm thinking about, and I'm not going to tell you.
Link, it's been amazing having you on the show. I hope you've enjoyed the episode, and I hope you've enjoyed chatting with us. It's a shame the big Stu, the country music correspondent, couldn't come on. I know he was champing at the bit to have a bit of a chat with you. He's known of your music for a while, so... It unfortunately technical gremlins kept him at bay, but yeah, we need to get you back sometime. So when is your next lot of music coming out, and what's the plans for the future?
Yeah, firstly, thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast, and just talking to a couple of good blokes about a bit of footy and a bit of music, and I'll come back anytime. Thanks, mate. So I've got a new another single coming out in June. And then another one in October.
Okay.
So it's going to be a busy year. Some more shows coming up. Plenty of applications being sent out, and we're just trying to get around as much as we can, and you know, get on as many festivals and stuff as we can. So, but yeah, it's going to be a good year. So. We'll keep you posted about you know, what's happening. People can watch, you know, the socials and all that kind of stuff, and see what's going on. And I'll have to catch up with Big Stu at the Rainbow Beach Fishing Classic.
Yeah, but I think there's a date happening, isn't there now? So
there is. Yes.
And maybe photo where it didn't happen.
Yeah, and yeah. Maybe by June we might have fixed up Big Stu's technical glitches. So we'll see how we go.
Someone buying the Starlink.
Yeah, absolutely. Link, as I said, amazing to have you on the show tonight. And it's always great to listen to artists that have a bit of emotion themselves, that commitment to their music. And we can certainly see and feel that with you. And once again, we'll talk footy with anyone. But then to be able to back that up with some music is always a great thing. So thank you.
A trivia gun as well.
Mate.
Oh, yeah.
Triple threat.
You'll have to have a end of the year, like, you know, highest scorers come back in the, face off against Rossi.
No pressure. What did you get, Link? 13. Rossi got 14, and Big Stu got 12. So
that's not bad.
That's really.
And Curly gets 5. So all right.
Curly did pretty good. Curly, if we do the big thing where we come back at the end of the year, I'll tailor all the questions to you.
Oh, please, and I'll still get 5.
Just be questions from 86 and 87.
What was that Brisbane band in 86 that played a song called Shake, Shake, Hey, Yeah? All right. So, everyone, we will make sure that links are in our show notes. So, go check him out. Some amazing songs. Check out Tracks of My Tears. It's on his 2022 EP, Shouting from the Rooftop. It's a classic version of a classic song. So follow those links. Make sure you follow the artist. We'll add his music into our playlist on Spotify. Simply go to search Unfiltered Undiscovered, and the playlist will come up. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like, subscribe and share it for someone that you know will appreciate it. We're on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. We've got a website, unfilteredundiscovered.com. We, of course, have our playlist and lyrics from the playlist comes to all those wonderful, powerful women that we all have in our lives. And it's a song from Jermaine, who are just going from strength to strength. They're the support act for Tom Jones's Australian tour. They've just released 2 new songs themselves, so that's awesome to see. The song is called Good for Girls, and the lyrics are, I don't want to be good for girls, I just want to be good. I don't want to be good for girls, let me show you good. And that's our show for tonight. So thanks, everyone. Thank you so much, Link. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you. And for everyone else, we will see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you.
Take a walk to the 16th shop. Got some money in my pocket that I saved up from a show last night. Why are you so surprised? Say, are you buying this for your boyfriend? Man, you gotta be joking. Just let me play the damn thing so we compromise. As long as I play quiet. But I like it loud, cause I'm loud and I'm proud. Shouting it out to the crowd. Listen to our sound. And I promise you come around. Cause I don't wanna be good for a girl, I just wanna be good. Sick and tired of trying to prove myself in your neighborhood. Take one look and you say how sweet. Baby, you're not listening, cause I know I ain't just good for a girl, so let me show you good. Take a walk downtown tonight, there's a party going down and we're all invited. You are feeling good, as we damn well should. Till my girl gets stopped by this guy saying I'ma be taking you home tonight. Come on, let her go. Come on, she said no, gold in her hands. Here you go, I might stay. I just wanted to dance with her friends, but you don't seem to care. Do we gotta ask again? Cause I don't wanna be good for a girl, I just wanna be good. Sick and tired of trying to prove myself in your neighborhood. Take work and you say how sweet. But baby, you're not listening, cause I'm lying just good for a girl, so let me show you great. Can shake the talk on the street tonight, when all I'm trying to do is just live my life. But you make it hard in my own backyard. If we do the right thing, do our best, show each other kindness, love and respect. And when we disagree, do it graciously, cause it sounds sweet singing in harmony. Everybody, you and me, we're all on the same team. So what's it gonna be? We don't wanna be good for girl, we just wanna be good. Sick and tired of trying to prove ourselves in this neighborhood. It takes just us to be on the feet. So baby, let's be listening, cause I don't wanna be good for girl, I just wanna be good. Yeah, we don't wanna be good for girls. Yeah, we just show you good. Yeah, I know I ain't just good for a girl, so let me show you good.